deprive us of any of his blessings, those that we know and those we do not know, because of our own weaknesses and because of our own ungratefulness. Alhamdulillah, we are on the threshold of the month of Ramadan. Sha'ban is now on the downhill, as we call it. And in a few days' time, we'll be welcoming the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan has been given to the believers as a great blessing and a gift. We will talk about it, inshallah, as the days come closer. But it is also a month of training, where believers are given training in lots of aspects of their ibadat and their relationship to Allah Ta'ala and their relationship with human beings. All these things are found in the month of Ramadan. And we should not only confine ourselves to having acquired training, and when Ramadan is over, then it is over also. That training is now required to carry us forward in maintaining and improving our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, in developing our spiritual and our physical selves. Physical also comes in there. And also improving our interpersonal relationships with other people. All these things are found in the month of Ramadan. So people sometimes neglect it. It's like a person who went for military training and then he came back and he hung his gun up and he put all his military boots and everything away when he is now needed to be on the battlefield. And he says, no, I did my 1 month of military training. But you are now needed to go and use whatever expertise or whatever talents you have acquired, whatever training, to go and overpower the enemy and to defend yourself. He says, no, I'll go next year again for military training. So we can imagine what will the condition of such a person be. So that is the one thing we are supposed to keep in focus when the month of Ramadan comes. Now, amongst the various things, the one thing that is very pertinent for all our actions is to be worried and have this fikr that whatever I do, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting it? And what is the criterion of acceptance by Allah ta'ala? If Allah ta'ala accepts my deed, then no matter who says what thereafter, and if everybody can say whatever they want to about my deeds, but if it is not accepted by Allah ta'ala, then I am a bankrupt, I am a loser. So this is one fikr. When we come in the masjid, when we go out, we should have this fikr that has my act been accepted by Allah ta'ala. When we give charity, the same thing is, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted me? So in the month of Ramadan, we are continuously told that this is the month wherein we develop our taqwa, our conscious relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what taqwa is. And that is supposed to let this fikr and this worry come in our minds then, all the time, whatever action we are doing. If we have got that in front of us, that Allah must be pleased with me. We all are worried about acceptance in everything else. Fellow puts in a proposal there, and then the girl says yes, mashallah. Phones everybody. Jawab, answer came yesterday, mashallah, they accepted. And when the nikah takes place, also what he says, wa qabiltuha, you know, accepted, I have accepted. People apply for jobs, mashallah, when the reply comes that you are now being accepted, how happy don't they get? People apply for university entrance and acceptance, wherever it might be, enrollment, when the acceptance comes through, how happy don't they get? So acceptance is something everybody gets very, very pleased with. And when they are not accepted, then we know what grief overtakes such people. But these are dunya grief. This is a short-lived. This girl said no, another one will say yes. This university closed, another one will say yes. That job you never get, another job you will get somewhere. But if on the day of Qiyamah a person is standing in front of Allah Ta'ala in her mountains of deeds that he done here and performed here, Allah says, I don't accept it, then my respected brothers, that is going to be major, major bankruptcy. So this aspect of acceptance is very, very important at all times, that has Allah accepted. So from who Allah accepts? Allah says he accepts from min al-muttaqeen, from those who consciously connect themselves to Allah when they are doing the deed. The taqwa applies in different aspects of our life, this muttaqeen. When it comes to deeds, when we must consciously connect ourselves, that I am giving this charity, I am reading this 2 rakats of salah, I am smiling with this Muslim brother, I am going for umrah, I am reading tilawat of the Quran, so Allah Ta'ala must be happy with me, Allah must be pleased with me. Not because somebody must see me. Not because I must become famous, not because somebody must praise me, and also not because I enjoy doing it. Many times what we say, it's so enjoyable, you know, to do this act of ibadah. I love fasting. I feel so good. We don't do deeds for feeling good, my respected friends and brothers. Just keep that in mind. That is now for the nafs we are doing it. We're not doing it for... Do it because Allah will get pleased. Allah wants me to do it, and I want Allah to accept it from me. So that is what Allah Ta'ala says. So that is the criterion of acceptance. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those people who have got taqwa. And doesn't matter what is the deed. It can be a deed that might be very insignificant in the community and in the society. It might be which people don't even bother about it. But that one little deed, my brothers, is the cause and can be the cause of a person's acceptance by Allah ta'ala in the highest of Jannat. That is what we must worry about. Sometimes, you know, we only notice that that is a very major deed. And that is going to be the cause of my being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We gave an incident some time back about this. Abu Dawud Tayalisi, the author of the famous book from among the Siha Sitta. Siha Sitta is the six authentic books which the ulama learn in the course of their studies. Nice thick book on hadith. He wrote a lot of other books also. And Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, on one occasion it is mentioned, was on the shores of a very broad river. And at that time there was somebody getting onto the ferry to take him across. And this person sneezed. And we know, and Abu Dawud, rahmatullah, must be also knowing, Imam Abu Dawud, that when somebody sneezes, it is the haqq of the believer that he replies him, and he gets replied, he must say, Yarhamukallah. So the person got on the boat and he went away. And it was now something hanging on his head that I did not say, Yarhamukallah. And when he got the first boat, he took one dirham and he spent it and he got onto the ferry and he got onto the other side and he tried looking for that fellow who said, Alhamdulillah. And when he found the person, he said to him, Yarhamukallah. So the man also surprised. I mean, imagine a few hours later, somebody meets you in the street, say, Alhamdulillah. Wonder what, if you say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, we'll know what it's about. Got back on the side. Upon the death of Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, somebody saw him in the dream. This incident was not even known by anybody. And they asked him that you must have really got a very high status by Allah Ta'ala for the book that you have written and the khidmat you had made on hadith. And really, my brothers, you read the Abu Dawud Sharif, it's an extremely interesting, a very vast book covering lots of topics of hadith. He says, no. Abu Dawud got acceptance and jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for spending one dirham. So what are you talking about? He mentioned this incident to somebody. And that in the dream, he said, this is what has happened. Because I went and said, Yarhamukallah, to that person on the other side. Such a small little deed in our eyes. But that was the cause, my respected friends and brothers. So what we are saying is, it has to be done with taqwa. And this is what we are going to inculcate in the month of Ramadan. The other thing, my brothers, which is linked to this, is that when we are doing actions of any kind of virtue, then don't forget, like you mentioned, it is connected to Allah, and don't regard it as small. And one of the things that the hadith teaches us is caring for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has been given to us in the month of Ramadan. So when Ramadan comes, mashallah, people are busy giving out khajur and people are giving out whatever else it might be for the fasting persons. But that is not what it is about. After Ramadan, these people are still hungry. Qurbani time come, mashallah, we are looking where and where we can send our meat. Then we sometimes looking for the cheapest place also. But we're looking for it nevertheless. But we are sending the meat there. Then after that, we forget about it. When Israel is busy bombing Gaza, then we become very, very concerned and we have all kinds of campaigns, which is good, mashallah. Then after they stop bombing, we forget these people are still suffering there. So a believer is all the time supposed to be consciously connected to Allah Ta'ala in the matter pertaining to caring for those that are underprivileged, those that are disadvantaged, those that are suffering. And that, my respected friends and brothers, is the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you are caring for the family of Allah ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam asked Allah ta'ala, which is the deed that is most beloved to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, oh Musa, the deed that is most beloved to me is that when one of my servants get pricked by a thorn and you see it happening, you become so overtaken by grief and pain as though that thorn has pricked you. So sympathizing, just sympathize, that is the most beloved action to me. So if you just sympathize and express grief for a Muslim brother, then my respected brother, that is an action that is very beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said in one hadith that I love it more than this, that I am sitting for 1 month in the haram of Makkah making itikaf and fasting for the whole month. I would love it more that I am of service to a needy brother of mine, to a needy servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what a great ibadat, mashallah. People go for itikaf in the harams, people fasting in the month of Ramadan, and here our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying that you mustn't do that. He's saying I would love that more. Sheikh Sharafuddin Yahya al-Muniri, he says, he addresses those people in power, those that are the rulers, those that are the rich, those that are in position of authority, the easiest and the closest way for you to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this, that you take care of those that are suffering and you bring comfort to them in whichever way it is possible. Now that is what is taught to us in the month of Ramadan, that you take care of the less fortunate. And this is supposed to be part of our system at all times, that the minute we hear somebody is suffering out there. And we are astounded. You know the story you mentioned of Musa alayhi salam the other day, that when a sheep ran away from his herd, he ran frantically after it far through the mountains, and it injured itself through running on the rocks, and he injured himself, and it got pricked with the thorns, and it was bleeding. And finally, he just stopped to take a breath, and Musa alayhi salam caught it. And he says, oh sheep, if you can't have mercy on Musa, at least have mercy on yourself. See what you have done to yourself. See how you have caused yourself to be bleeding. And that caused so much of grief to Musa alayhi salam, not to a human being's suffering, the suffering of an animal. The malaika say, oh Allah, this man has got in him the qualities of becoming a Nabi. This was before. We know the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Anbiya alayhi salam, before they became prophet, they were all given the task of grazing sheep. So this was one of the reasons they were getting training, my respected friends and brothers. It is mentioned about Shaykh Ahmad Rifa'i rahimahullah, that once he was on his way for Salah and he saw a donkey that was overtaken with a whole lot of like a skin disease. All the hair, all the fur was turned off, was off, and it was basically fermenting, it was rotting. It was rotting. And he took that donkey home and he took care of it. And he applied whatever ointment, whatever medication he could. And he had a shawl on his body which he took and he put it over the donkey until the donkey received some kind of healing. And finally it became cured. It was revealed to him. And we saw the name of Shaykh Ahmad Rifa'i, such a great buzruk, such a servant of Allah. Some other time we will tell you about himself, his position and his karamats. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him on account of him having taken care of this particular donkey. A donkey which we and you and I, you know on how we look at a donkey, how we want to insult somebody, we'll use the donkey and whatever else it might be. But he took care of this creature and this animal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala endowed him with wilayat, with closeness to him, and Allah ta'ala granted him such ulum and such knowledge of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he became one of the great saints in the order wherever he belongs. So my respected friends and brothers, taking care of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consciously connecting yourself to Allah ta'ala, doing it for the pleasure of Allah, if it is done with the proper intention, it is accepted by Allah Ta'ala, and that is that action that will take a person very close to the court of Allah Ta'ala in a very, very short while. So we make dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us, as the month of Ramadan is coming, this aspect of creating a connection and a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of ours, and specifically when it comes to taking care of the creation of Allah ta'ala in whichever way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us. Somebody will have the time, somebody will have the strength, somebody will have the wealth, somebody will have some other skill or whatever Allah has granted him through which he will be able to worry about and take care of the suffering ummah. And finally, my brothers, if there's nothing somebody can do, then after every salah, pick up your hands and cry to Allah Ta'ala for the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today you open up any page of the news, or you flip any channel wherever you are watching it or listening it, to it, you are just hearing things about the creation, the makhluq, and specifically the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that are going through untold suffering. They're being slaughtered, they're being persecuted, incarcerated. There are those that are running away on the boats, and there are such disturbing stories and images coming through. It tears the heart out to hear these things and to see these things, my brothers. But remember, more than anything else that anybody may possess to help those persons, we've got the most powerful thing. Pick up our hands. Make dua for everybody else. In the end, make dua for ourselves. Allah will say, he made dua for everybody else. Why should I not accept his dua? Our dua will get accepted. So my respected friends and brothers, make dua for the suffering ummah, wherever they might be. And make dua that Allah uses each and every one of us according to what he knows our capacity is, to take care of those that are suffering out there.